I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal's everywhere. Well, Sal's at minicamp, Sal's at your golf. Yeah, I saw Sal. I saw him at T-ball.
Wait a minute. The thing you were at for why you couldn't golf, yep. Sal was at, but he also golfed?
Apparently.
No one's able to do more things at one time than Sal. He's the man of all trades.
He might just own a helicopter and we don't know it.
Get to the chopper!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Reporting live from the Capaccio Copter. Again, Mr. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. All right, Sal, we got one, right? Bills, Dolphins, week three, Thursday night football on Prime. That's not bad. Like that. A nice
it appears that's the case.
An elite fall evening awaits.
For sure. You know, we've talked a lot about week one, being at home. I'll be honest, over the last 24 hours or so, I've kind of cooled off on Bengals at Bills, Sunday night football, week one. Maybe still week one, Sunday night football for the Bills. I don't know that. But just from things that I've been hearing, might be cooling off on it being the Bengals as an opponent, or even the Bills being at home week one, Sunday night. But either way, 2 weeks later, week three against the Dolphins, that appears to be happening. From what it looks like out there, we don't know. It's not confirmed, obviously, but various, I guess, reliable reporting. Dolphins coming to Buffalo week three, Thursday night football. Last year, the Bills were in Miami week two, Thursday night football. I've had people say, would they do that again? Yeah, for sure. Like, these are division opponents, and it happens. It happens. I remember the Bills and the Jets had played a couple Thursday night footballs in a row. Different times, maybe not right away in the season. The Bills also played a bunch of primetime games last year early in the season. So it's very possible. I've also heard and been told the Bills will get The Bills could very well have, I don't know for sure this, but the Bills could very well have two Thursday night football games this year, and the other would be away, and the team that I'm hearing it could be against is the Houston Texans.
Okay. I want to explore your Sunday, maybe not the Bengals, and also, are you saying maybe not at home?
No, I don't know that. Okay. I'm just saying, I'll just say it this way. Bengals at Bills, week one Sunday night football has been kind of rumored for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure on that anymore. I really don't know what week one could be. It still could be that, could be something else. It'd still be at night. I don't really know. But it seems like from what people are saying that maybe that game is a little later in the season, that specific game.
Sal, one question for you about Monday night. Some years there's a Monday night doubleheader. Some years the doubleheader is week two. Is there any rhyme or reason to that?
Yes. The rhyme or reason is experimentation, to be honest with you. The NFL has said, and with our conversations with Mike North over the years, he has basically said the NFL has tinkered with a lot of things to see how the ratings go. They've tinkered with which weeks to do it. They've tinkered with start times, meaning starting at the same time, starting staggered times, while they're both playing, maybe one early, one late. They've done it all at different times. So I don't really know if this year there's a plan yet. I haven't seen anything about which weeks will maybe get a dual Monday night game. But they've done it different ways, really kind of as an experimentation to see what fits best. And I still think they're working through all of that.
Yeah. It also, this morning so far, it's kind of a reminder, Sal, that not every team is going to get everything they want, or it's not going to look perfect. Like, there will be some things that teams will deem unfair. Like, I'm already seeing a couple Giants fans that are annoyed that the reporting is that they open with two road division games. And, like, you know, just some teams are going to have to do that because you got to put the schedule together and not everybody's going to have the perfect slate.
I agree. You see, the Giants also is Giants week 17, apparently, against the Raiders. So, you know, a lot of times those last two games are division games. Doesn't have to be, though. The last game has to be a division game. The Bills are not on the Raiders or Giants schedule, so it's not like you can eliminate them from process of elimination. But I find it interesting sometimes when I see a non-division or even non-conference matchup late in the season like that, a week 17, which is interesting. I know why they've gone to the division games week 18, and but it just does kind of take the luster out of the schedule stuff because you only have three possibilities, right? Not home and away, obviously, but you only have three possibilities. Like, for the Bills, they can only play the Jets, the Dolphins, the Patriots week 18. We know that every year. Before they went to this model, it really could be anybody. And that's when I see a week 17 like cross-conference matchup. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool because we don't get as many of those in those last 2 weeks.
All right. Joe's got a couple more rumors out there. We've got nothing confirmed. So there's a couple
confirmed.
Twitter rumors, a couple sourced reports.
Yeah, Yards Per Pass, who is a good follow on Bill's Twitter, he has a chart where he has, like, one of his color coding is it's confirmed or, like, that's none of them right now. There's Twitter rumor, and then there's he has green reliable source. He has Miami in Miami week 10, which would be November 9th. At 1.
Possible.
And then he has Cincinnati.
Bills Bengals 4:30 in December.
Yeah.
And that's what that's also something I've heard. So
okay.
We'll see. But I have heard Bills Bengals later in the season, that particular week, I think it was, that you guys just referenced that he did.
Sure.
But I don't know if that's right necessarily, but right. That's something that is trending a little bit.
All right.
Very good.
Well, week 1 then does just kind of feel like it's completely up in the air right now.
I agree.
Okay.
I don't know what that would be. And really, there's so many different possibilities here, right? I mean,
yeah.
You look, you could take any team here and still put it. The only teams, I think everybody, there's nobody accounted for yet. I mean, week 1, the Chiefs are accounted for. I shouldn't say it that way. The Chiefs are accounted for. We know it's not them, right? They're week 1. Eagles are accounted for. We know it's not them. I think that's kind of it, though, for week 1 for the Bills. Anybody else in the schedule? But you're right. Week 1 is still up in the air. And yeah, I was just talking with Bove. Matt Bove is going to join me today at right away at the top of the show on the Extra Point Show. We're going to talk about it. And him and I were just on a phone call, and I said, you know, would they do Sunday night week 1 Bills at home and then Thursday night week 3 at home? He's like, yeah, for sure. And we were kind of walking through the last history, and you're right. I mean, he's right. There's no they could definitely do that.
Yeah, last year they played 4 out of 5 in prime time. And a couple in a row on the road there, so 2 out of 3 on the road. So I think it's possible. You know, Sal, the trend, as you talked about division games at the end there, that trend of division games early. Okay, so Miami week 3, I'm starting to wonder about, like, New England week 1. If they are home for a 1 o'clock, like, that could be Jets, that could be Patriots. You know, I guess what I'm feeling about all this is the season's going to open with the Eagles and then the Chiefs. And if the Bills don't get a big window, the Packers and the Lions, we see that week 1, 4:25. The Bills, if they're not at Sunday night or Monday night, feels like they'd kind of be missing from the big stage as the league opens its season. Like, hey, all our best teams are back. And the Bills are certainly one that would rate. So not like Sunday 1 o'clock would be an insult, but it would feel like the league is missing out on showcasing one of the best teams again.
Yeah, I know. And listen, I mean, you have the league MVP here in Buffalo, right? Josh Allen.
Right.
And they're gonna put him on all these different windows. I am kind of surprised right now that we already know Thanksgiving night, it's not them. We already know, I mean, if all these
Christmas night, Black Friday.
Christmas night, it's not them. We already know Black Friday, it's not them. I really, like, you guys know, we've talked about this. If you had me on 2 months ago talking about this, if you said just one of those three, would they be on one of those three? Thanksgiving night, Black Friday, or Christmas night? I'd be like, oh yeah, they're going to be on one of those three. And if they're not going to be on any. Now, we don't know the Christmas Day games yet, but it's just been, the way it's been told to me lately is just that they're not going to play on Christmas. It seems like that. I don't know for sure. It could still happen, but it just feels like that's not the case. But if you would have told me 2 months ago, you know, and asked me, are the Bills going to get one of those three slots? Thanksgiving night, Black Friday, Christmas night? I would go, oh my God, I can't imagine they not getting one of them.
I've got a question that you might have asked this of Mike North. I don't know that we ever have or asked you this. Does season to season matter? And here's what I'm going to go to. New stadiums open with a big show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Bills on Sunday night to open next year or Thursday night. I mean, maybe Thursday night if they win the Super Bowl. But it feels like the Bills will get a window next year to say, welcome to the new palace, viewer. Here are the Bills. Like, the NFL likes to showcase their new stadiums. And if they go Sunday night opener this year, I mean, would they be doing it again next year or Monday night? So, you know, I don't know about year over year, but this time next year, we're certainly going to be talking about opening the stadium.
No doubt. I mean, obviously, the best scenario is give the league no choice and open on Thursday Night Football week 1. Right?
That'd be great.
I mean, give them no choice. Win the Super Bowl, and it doesn't matter, and it's the greatest opening of the history of openings of stadiums, right? Because you're opening a new stadium to unveil a Super Bowl banner. That would be great. That being said, so we have kind of asked Mike in a way, like this, not specifically about the Bills or the stadium, obviously, but does it matter year to year? Not necessarily. Like they don't take a look and go, well, we did that last year, other than if some things become too much of a trend. Then they look at it. Like if you have one team playing, for example, Buffalo playing in Miami or Miami playing in Buffalo 5 years in a row in December, and you know Miami's come up Buffalo, that might change, something like that. He also did say, though, which I found interesting, was, yeah, the last year of the stadium, they know about it. They're not really building a schedule with a lot of that in mind, but they are for the opening of stadiums, right? Which, to your point, Jeremy, you do want to have an opening. Now, let's remember, it doesn't have to be week one. You could open the stadium in week two and still have a big showcase. So you can have the Bills home opener, home week one Sunday Night Football, and then next year home week two Sunday Night Football to open the stadium because they're on the road. It doesn't have to be week one.
I've got another report here. Zach Klein, who covers the Falcons for WSB Channel 2 in Atlanta, says that league sources tell me the Falcons will have two Monday Night Football games, and he lists the Bills as one of the two.
All right, Bills, Falcons. Oh, wow. so close.
We don't know the week, though, right?
He doesn't say the week, no. But he has a road Bills night. At Falcons for a Monday Night game.
Okay. I just missed, Sal. I was trying to speak the Monday Nighter against Carolina into existence. Looks like it's going to be.
I was going to say, I'd be surprised if they had two NFC South Monday Night
games.
It's
okay. I mean, it can be the Carolina game can be really any day to build that golf trip around. I was just, you know, getting greedy with the Monday Night. So Bills,
okay, so wait,
Falcons,
wait.
Monday
also,
Night.
Go ahead. Yeah, and this goes, remember, we've had this discussion.
Anchor
yesterday,
teams.
I asked Josh. Yes, right. I asked Josh yesterday, and we've discussed this, and I had Mike on yesterday. And the question I've had is, look, what team is under the radar that the Bills would be on prime time against that we're not talking about? It's not a marquee matchup because the Bills will be the anchor.
Yep.
And I think we've all decided it would either be maybe Atlanta or Carolina, right?
Yep.
Like
yep.
that would be one of those teams.
Yep.
And here we go. And if everything is right that I've been hearing, it's also going to be Houston, which I don't think is necessarily under the radar, but that's not a team you were thinking a lot about over the recent months. That them being a primetime game.
Yeah, it's funny. Last year's Texans game, we were like, oh, primetime. That was 1 o'clock.
That's right.
And they didn't do it. And that's with Stephon Diggs, right? And now you don't have him, and now that could be it. All right, so here's another one. This is from our buddy, I'll give him a shout out, Maniac from Trainwreck Sports.
Yep.
I'm gonna believe Maniac here because he's a good guy. He said he is saying Buffalo will host the team from Tampa week 11 non-prime time.
Okay.
That's the week after Bills, yards per pass is Bills Dolphins.
So we're up to three primetime games now, Falcons, Dolphins, and we think Texans.
Okay, so therefore, I will say by process of elimination and going in line with things I've heard, I think that could lead to Bills at Texans week 12 Thursday Night Football, the week before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
That would mean... Oh, wait, sorry. Okay, right. I was thinking the Monday night game. We don't know.
Yeah,
the Monday
we don't know
game.
When the Monday night.
We don't know when the Monday.
I mean, the Monday nighter could be part of one of those Monday night doubleheaders that they do if they do that. Mm-hmm. All right. Peace. It's
so I think November's starting to fill out here a little bit, right? If you have week 10 at Miami, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying there? Is that what you're?
There's a rumor on that.
Has, right? Yep. Week 11 would be home against Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Week 12 at Houston Thursday Night Football. I think that's where it's starting to look like.
Yeah. Where do we refresher on the bye week stuff on like how late that can be and what the Bills really prefer, Sal, if they've even said over the years, like kind of what you think they prefer over whether early or late or right in the middle?
The Bills prefer later, I believe, and I think that's kind of proven by, and I wouldn't say that they've come out and said that, but I think that's proven by the fact that they elected not to take their bye after the London trip a couple years ago because they had their choice. Do you want that after the week 5 game it was, maybe, or week 4?
Yep.
And they said no because they wanted to take their chances of getting it later in the year. That was too early for them. So I think by virtue of that, Joe, that probably tells me that they would prefer to have it later. It does not mean they're going to get it. The Bills have recently had byes a little bit later in the year. The latest you can have a bye is week 14, by the way. Last year, 6 teams were off on week 14.
Wow. Sal, one quick point about, we had the stat earlier. Do you know how many teams played on Monday Night Football last year? To your point about...
Total teams?
Yeah, total teams. To your point about the anchor teams and all that. How, when I thought maybe Carolina, or we talked about Atlanta, people responded with, I don't know about Carolina. How many teams played on Monday Night Football last year?
24, maybe?
27.
27 teams. Like, it's, you know, so Monday Night Football is not Sunday Night Football. Monday Night Football, you get your variety. You get your, hey, let's check in on this young quarterback. In the case of Atlanta here, they've got two Monday Night games, you know? So Falcons and Rams and Falcons and Bills, if you believe it. So, hey, Michael Penix, let's see how it's going with the Falcons and their coaching change and all this that's gone on with them. So, yeah, it's kind of like an opportunity for a team on the come up to potentially pop. So, Bills and Falcons.
Agreed. And listen, Atlanta's actually, like, they're an interesting team, right, with Penix. And they have a lot of offensive talent. Bijan Robinson and Drake London and those guys, right? I mean, like, they have a lot of offensive talent. So, that's interesting. I wonder, again, when that game would be. That feels like maybe an October type of Monday night game. Who knows? I don't know. But just the way this is trending, maybe later in December. Atlanta is a... It's one of the few, I think, kind of destination cities for Bills fans this year. So in that regard, I think I would feel a little bad for Bills fans who wanted to go to that game because it is a Monday night. Obviously, that means you're it's Tuesday's a work day. Now, that said, it also, you could look at it the other way and go, no, that's great. Make a weekend out of it, right? You can go to Atlanta and hang out. So I think Atlanta is one of those cities this year where people have said, hey, look, you know, they don't have a lot of these real long trips. The furthest they go is Houston. But imagine that. You get these destination games. Houston, Atlanta, they could all be kind of night games. And I don't know if that's good or bad for Bills fans. I guess everybody would have their own perspective.
And it's one of those cities where it's rare that you get to go there, right? It's once every 8 years. Once in the last 15 years, you've had a chance to go to Atlanta. It was almost twice that AFC Championship game that they almost had to have there. But... And that's the new stadium. This will be the second opportunity, right, for Bills fans, Sal? Because the 2017 game, they would have been into that stadium, right? Or no?
Yeah, they were the second ever game in that stadium.
Okay.
The Falcons opened that stadium with a night game against the Packers. And then like a week or two later, they played the Bills in an afternoon game. That was the second game ever held at that stadium.
Okay.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. All right, Sal, so you guys are doing a live reaction show today, right? On Always Game Day?
Yeah, tonight. 9 o'clock. So here's the deal. 9 o'clock tonight. Matt Bove and I are going to have a live It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. So I'll be on with the guys. I think we have WGR coverage going tonight. Mm-hmm. I'll join the guys at around, you know, in 7 o'clock hour. And then after the schedule's released, sometime after that, I'll join them. And then Matt and I are going to go live on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Now, here's the deal. It'll be live on all the platforms. It'll be out on X/Twitter. It'll be live on YouTube. But if you want to comment with us, you have to watch on YouTube. Twitter doesn't allow that.
Yep.
So you can watch it live on Twitter, but go to my YouTube page at Sal Sports. You can subscribe there, and then you can actually watch it there, and we can read your comments live about what's happening if you want to do it that way. So that'll be 9 o'clock tonight.
Nice. All right. Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. 9 o'clock tonight. I'm gonna be watching Panthers Leafs.
Yes.
Very Cats. Excited. Leafs Cats.
I can't decide who I want to win that one. I think I have to say Toronto.
I think Leafs. I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know.
Like the Panthers, they just got one too many unlikable dudes. That's it for me. Like they've got I love Reinhardt. I love Barkov. I love Forsling. Like there's a couple players on the team that just are awesome all the time. But then Kachuk and Bennett, and then you had to have Marchand. Marchand is really the kicker for me. Once you get him, it's like, I don't think I can root for you. I don't think I can do it.
Yeah.
So Toronto. How many unlikable players are on Toronto?
You
could definitely hate Max Domi.
Yes.
And is that it? Like Matthews and Marner and Nylander, those guys aren't like they've kind of choked at times, but they're not unlikable.
Speaking of how much you like players, want to poach other rosters, the NHL offer sheet compensation is out.
Oh, okay.
Which we've started to see a small uptick in those. The Sabres cannot offer sheet anybody to a price that has a second rounder because they do not have their second rounder. You can trade for it back.
Okay.
You really can do that. You can just go get it back. They sent a second rounder to Ottawa.
In the Cousins trade?
In the Cousins trade. So you just say, how about we give you a second and 3/6 to get our own second back?
Uh-huh.
You could do that.
Listen, I hope you're ready.
Or 2/3 or 2/4. Because, of course, offer sheets should be a thing in the NHL. It always should have been. And – it gets sillier by the year. So the Sabres cannot do a first, second, and third, but they could do a player up to $7 million, right?
Okay.
A player that's a Paterka. By the way, Paterka's one to watch. If some team comes calling for Paterka and gives him 8.5, knowing the cap's going to go up, and the Sabres are faced with paying Paterka 8.5 or accepting a first, second, and third round pick, what will they do?
They should match it.
If someone comes for...
I don't want your late first, second, and third.
Bo Byram. If somebody comes for Ryan McLeod.
How about Devin Levi?
Shouldn't
that, that would be an in that that's the type of offer sheet the Blues did to Edmonton, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
The Blues went after two younger guys that were like just arriving. Broberg maybe is one of them, and they got him right. Like they Edmonton let them walk because like these guys haven't earned that contract yet. That would be like a team coming in and saying, "Hey, Devin Levi, best goalie in the AHL. What if we just gave you $3.5 million right now?"
The Sabres would not take it.
Sabres wouldn't match it?
They would.
It's
only a second-round pick. They cannot give up a second-round pick.
Okay, you're right.
The number for Levi is 4.7. Somebody give him that?
No.
No, I don't think
that's
so either.
That's too much.
Now, it's worth mentioning that when the Hurricanes did it for Kotkaniemi, was that it?
Kotkaniemi, yep. Which was seen as a revenge for Montreal doing it to Aho.
And it was a one-year deal because you match the price.
Is that right?
And yes.
They gave him 1 year.
It was 1 year, and when you let that guy walk, now he's your property, but he maintains RFA status. You just gave him a raise.
It'd be like someone giving Byram 1 year, $9.5 million, because in a year he'll be an RFA again.
Right, but that would cost that team two firsts, a second, and a third.
Well, that's crazy.
You're not doing that for Byram.
Not doing that for Byram.
Would you do it for a first, second, and a third for Byram? Somebody comes in and says
one
seven
first,
million.
A second, and a third.
It's worth mentioning.
I think about it with Paterka.
If you are a good team, second and third round picks should mean nothing to you.
I know.
But nothing to you. And your firsts should barely mean anything to you either.
But they're not a good team.
No, I mean that's what I'm saying. Like teams to come and offer. If somebody wants Byron, I'm like, absolutely. Here's 7.5. What are you going to do, Buffalo?
Someone should try to dare them to do it, right?
Ryan McLeod. Somebody comes in and says... 6.8. First and a third.
Jeez, how long? Do you want to do the 1 year?
Again, the cap is going up like 20% in the next couple of years. So these numbers, offer sheets. It should be a spicy offer sheet season. I don't know that it will be.
Is there anybody on the Islanders that needs to be offer sheeted? Because if Lamorello is about to join the squad, is he going to want one of his old guys back? Nobody that seems to be... Oh, Noah Dobson?
Okay.
Who's gotten some...
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk in Sabres Twitter about as a trade idea. He is an RFA. Also, Alex Romanoff, who is one of the players that Lamorello traded a first-round pick for. He is also an RFA. And he is a... Dobson's a right-shot defenseman.
Join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you will receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Ave in Lancaster. Not a rider, you can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details.
Jimmy Vaughn.
Am I Vaughn?
I know we haven't done very well against this guy, but I got a hunch he's due.
Good morning to the chat on YouTube. The chat we're treating now as a character on the show.
No. See, that's why I love it. We don't even have to mention a guy and just bam, everyone's fist fighting in the chat.
The chat is like, you know, you look out in your backyard and you see like, what are the dogs doing out there? And you just find out like, they're after something. All right, Josh told us we got to check in on the chat. So we're going to do that. See what's going on in the chat. Before we do that, we have a ticket to 8 Amazing Golf Experiences, WGR VIP golf card for one low price of $129.
Unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf and score deals at Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP card today at GetMyPerks.com. Speaking of the simulator golf, it's the second year in a row the PGA Championship is at a course that's on the sim.
Mm-hmm.
Quail Hollow. I'm gonna play some Quail Hollow today, Joe. Very excited to put it right in the creek on 18. It's going to be very good. All right, what's going on in the chat? Josh and Owen said we got to check in on the chat. What do we got?
So when you guys were talking about, you know, Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson and everything, we got to talking about baseball, and then baseball movies came up, and then Field of Dreams, Major League, all that stuff. So now we've been talking about all sorts of different sports movies, regular ones, niche ones. Is Cars a racing movie? Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. Is Luck of the Irish.
There's racing for how much of the movie is racing?
It's all centered around the big race.
Four minutes?
A decent amount. Cars is a phenomenal movie, full stop. Phenomenal movie. Holds up, is great.
I don't even have kids and I watch Cars.
Incredible lesson. I'm telling you, I like get choked up every time he goes and helps Doc Hudson. Oh, the king, not metaphorically Doc.
Yeah.
I mean, Cars is a phenomenal movie. Is it a racing movie? You know what? Yes, it is. Okay, next. What's next?
Is Luck of the Irish a basketball movie?
Never seen it. Don't even know what it is.
Oh, it's a Disney Channel original.
Okay, don't know what it is.
So I said it was a basketball movie. But anyway, I don't know if Owen's seen it, but it was around when we were kids. So,
never a basketball guy.
We also got into just other niche movies like Goon, the hockey movie.
Okay.
Discussing like sports movie sequels, who's the best baseball actor? I think it's Kevin Costner, far and away, but that's just me.
The best baseball actor?
Yeah, like when you think of a baseball movie, who do you think of? It's Kevin Costner. Bull Durham, Field of Dreams.
Tom Selleck.
Mr. Baseball?
Mr. Baseball.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but I think of Brad Pitt from Moneyball.
Moneyball?
That's good too.
Interesting, because I would say I think of Dennis Quaid
for Love of the Game.
The Rookie.
Sorry. Love of the Game is Costner.
Yeah. As a kid, I used to get them confused.
Listen, who's the all-time baseball actor?
Robert Redford's up there, too, just because of The Natural.
I'm going to tell you something about baseball.
Never seen The Natural.
There's something about, and you guys might speak to this when you were kids. I mean, my son has just started T-ball and is learning everything about it, and all he thinks about and all he talks about now is baseball. And
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I know, you played at Shoshone for years. Like,
yep.
I just absolutely know I'm going to get 100% pulled back into baseball because of my son. He's laying in bed pointing to – we got like little stickers from Berenstain Bears books, and there's gloves and balls and bats. And he's just like, look at him, glove, ball, bat. And he wants to play catch. He wants to hit the ball. He just his entire identity has become baseball in like a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And is that – when you're a kid, you just – it's when you play first, one of them – and you just latch onto baseball. He is so into it already.
I definitely got really in on baseball early and then grew into loving hockey more.
Yeah.
Like I remember I was a pitcher and a first baseman and like being obsessed with like Lincecum was on the Giants. And I used to think that was so cool.
Tim Lincecum. Like, Eagles
he was cool.
Eagles and Chiefs rematch of the Super Bowl is week two.
Week two at 4:25?
Yep.
How much more Eagles can we take?
Right. Gosh. Week two. That game is at a place called Arrowhead. You may have heard of it.
Have all the Eagles' biggest games been announced except for the Bills and Eagles?
Yeah. We can't even get the Bills
also
Eagles.
True.
Week two. Bills.
Where's that game?
Eagles, Chiefs, week two. Anyway, Owen, sorry to interrupt there.
No, I honestly, now I'm just taken over by the Eagles again.
4:25.
So I have nothing in my mind other than the Eagles.
Hey, Fox, that's the game to leak.
That's the one they should have leaked
yesterday.
That's
the one you should have announced, although we would have also been mad that it was the Eagles.
That's true, but it would have been better. It would have been way better.
Week two. What else in the chat? More movie stuff?
Yeah, just a lot of movie stuff. We got into rollerblading movies. We got that far into the niche.
Hold on a moment.
Movies, plural?
That's what I'm immediately,
the
protesting.
One. Name one. I don't. The one that they were talking about was called Brink. I don't know what that
Never
is.
Heard of it.
And then there was another one, but I don't remember the name of it.
Man. I can't. What is
there?
The
I can't even think of a movie with rollerblading in it.
I'm just going to say, I'm going to Google the phrase rollerblading movies. Brink. There it is. Okay, I got a movie for you, a sports movie. This one throws it way back, and you should all see this. You're all way too young for this because this is when I was a kid. The movie called Rad.
I like the name.
You got to see Rad.
Sounds pretty rad.
How old is it?
Look it up. 1987 is a guess here. 1988, Rad. It is
1986. Look at the poster on this thing.
Yeah.
This is the most 80s poster I have ever seen in my entire life.
Wow. You are not kidding.
Let me tell you.
What is that? What, I don't even know what to describe that poster as.
Yep. Rad is basically like your Karate Kid genre of movies where, you know, you're trying to win the competition and you're a kid. And it's for BMX racing, and it is, awesome.
That's sweet.
Because how much did you like riding a bike when you were a kid, like your BMX bike? And
as soon as you learn how to take the training wheels off, you're just always on your bike.
Going off
jumps.
You learn how to
bunny hop, and you're like, I am God.
Rad. Go watch Rad today.
Got a 42 on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, I don't know.
What does Rotten Tomatoes know about being a kid on a BMX bike?
To be fair, that's the critic score. The audience score is 90.
There we go.
Amazing. These critics.
What are the odds?
Those nerd critics never, you know, jammed a skid into some gravel and bit it on their bike.
Uh-huh.
What are the odds that movie trailer has movie voice guy that we were talking about
real
a few
good.
Weeks ago?
Real good.
Pretty high, and right?
Honestly, Rad's the kind of movie where you only actually need to watch the last 13 minutes or 15 minutes when the big race happens because it's awesome.
Yep.
All right, Rad. A couple people are going to tweet me about Rad. I know it.
We've also got Motocrossed, which was a newer version of that kind of movie. Like, it was a Disney Channel original. AC Man threw that one in there, so thanks to him. But I remember watching that one on Disney Channel, like, live when it first came out. And it was, I don't fully remember the plot. I don't know if you guys were also Disney Channel kids, but.
No, I was a Nickelodeon kid. Oh,
man.
All Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Hot Dirt with Grind. I don't know that one.
Skateboarding movie. Gleaming the Cube.
Looks like it.
Yeah.
Coach Carter.
How about MVP, Most Valuable Primate, the chimpanzee that plays hockey?
Oh, yes.
It's a great one.
I saw that on Disney Plus the other day, and I was like, what is this movie? I gotta throw it on.
Some of these movies I watched as kids, though, I will never see again because I don't want it tainted.
That makes sense.
We were talking about National Treasure in the break, because there's a new Raider album. There's a John Madden movie coming out, and Nicolas Cage is playing John Madden. So talking about National Treasure, which I loved as a kid. I rewatched it like a month ago, and it's like, this is the cheesiest thing that ever happened. I liked this.
This just happened.
I wish
to me
I didn't
too.
Rewatch it.
This just happened to me with another Nick Cage movie too.
Now in my head, I'm like, I was an idiot growing up. The movie's not good.
I know. I watched. This is so tough. I'm gonna get torn apart for this.
Ready?
Ghost Rider.
Is that Nicolas Cage on a motorcycle?
Yes.
Isn't Sam Elliott in that too?
Yeah.
That's a wild movie.
I used to love it as a kid. It was like one of the first comic book movies that came out, and I thought it was so cool. Nick Cage is like wearing a leather jacket, turns into a flaming skeleton. Yep. It's unbelievable. And I watched it the other day, and I had to turn it off. I almost started crying. Like, I thought this was good.
I got to tell you.
I thought this was really good.
The sound down from this Rad trailer that one of our listeners just tweeted at me is the most 80s looking thing I've ever seen in my life.
TriStar Pictures, they had the horse and the Aunt
Becky from Full House.
Yes,
this, huh?
Aunt Becky, that old guy. Adrian from Rocky is in this.
The picture of all of them in the car with their hair and just like it's almost too 80s.
It almost feels like it's a parody that was made now. It's so 80s.
Well, it's the thing about the passage of time, gentlemen. When a movie is made in a year, don't be shocked to see the people looking like the year that it is. That's just called a movie.
I just skimmed through the trailer. We have no movie voice guy.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
It is a montage, though, where it's just like a lot of those like quotable quotes and like some good 80s synth music.
I would have lost a lot of money making that bet that guy voiced that trailer.
All right. Anything else from the chat we need to handle?
No.
Anything come up?
Not that I see.
The Chiefs' first three games are locked in. Chargers in Brazil, Eagles 425 at the Giants. By the way, the Giants, their season's over.
Their first three games are tough.
Commanders, Cowboys, Chiefs?
Yeah, and road, and then the Chief game is their home opener.
Have a good season. Thanks for coming.
Well, doesn't that mean they're going to start Russell Wilson at the beginning of the year, and by week four, Jackson Dart will be playing?
Yeah, well, it depends. When week four is Philly.
It also makes it less likely they would start him week one, doesn't it? They're going to want to throw him to the – would you call that to the Wolves? I mean, I don't know how good those three defenses are. But I mean,
Micah Parsons is coming for you in one of them, is he not?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough start to the year. Two road division teams that are both pretty good. Washington might be great. And then Kansas City.
Extendo Sports on the way. The leaks coming slowly, but we'll keep passing the news along on schedule release dates.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Window Nation, the right choice for your home and wallet.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
So Darren Dreger has tweeted it might be my favorite tweet of all time. It's up there.
It's like in terms of like a Saber report.
It's the best thing that's ever happened.
All right, Darren Dreger tweets, "I'm sure the Sabres would be interested in adding Lou Lamoriello to their brain trust, but nothing imminent. Lou was spotted at the airport in Buffalo, apparently there to renew his nexus."
Perfect. No notes.
Which, if you're not familiar, is the pass that like gets you across the border, like in your own line, like almost like TSA pre-check.
He came to town to renew his nexus.
That is that's amazing.
It's wonderful. You can't beat it. Yep. All right. What else to get to? I had something else. Hey, the Chiefs, a Monday nighter against the Jaguars.
Another Chief game.
Another Chief
game.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think the Giants are going to start Jackson Dart until week four. They're going to throw him to the Wolves like that? They go road Washington, road Dallas, home Kansas City.
Yeah. Sal, you got anything new?
No, except that really made me laugh because we actually just got appointments to get Nexus.
All right, good.
I had my appointment on Monday.
So I can see that happening.
Yeah.
It is very convenient. It's very nice.
I wondered if that's when you told me that you had to be out and you had to go somewhere. Yeah. I thought maybe that was the case. I didn't want to ask in private. Yeah.
No, yeah. We had to drive across to do your interview in Canada. You come back, you do it here. Yeah. So we had that on Monday. Apparently Lou Lamoriello was in that process as well.
I mean, come on, right? Yeah, it's just funny. That's funny.
Imagine you're in line at Nexus, and they just call, like, Lamoriello. Like, what? Oh, hey. Yeah. So, anyway. All right. So, Sal, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up. You've got, I'd imagine, plenty of schedule conversations. The leaks are coming. We're going to have the full Eagles and Chiefs schedule soon. But
Panthers at Jaguars week one.
Week one.
But here's the good news. If you get Eagles and Chiefs as much as possible, you're going to eliminate a lot of weeks for the Bills to play those teams.
That's true.
And we already know a bunch of weeks the Bills are playing already due to other reports, so you can start doing the process of elimination. Matt Bove is going to join me right away. He loves the schedule talk as much as I do and we do, and he was on the pod with me and Mike North. He's going to join me right away at 10 a.m. At 10:30, guys, Kelsey Conway, who covers the Bengals, is going to join us. We'll talk a little schedule, what the rumors are about the Bills and playing the Bengals. But really, Trey Hendrickson, Bengals offseason, obviously a really interesting team.
Yeah. Before we go, want to mention real quickly today, we didn't mention it today, but don't want to finish the show without mentioning, today is the anniversary of the Topps shooting on Jefferson Ave, when 10 lives were taken in the mass shooting at Topps. And Roberta Drury, Margus Morrison, Andre McNeil, Aaron Salter, Geraldine Talley, Celestine Cheney, Hayward Patterson, Catherine Massey, Pearl Young, and Ruth Whitfield were taken in a horrible act of violence and hate. And just taking time to remember them, to remember what this area, what the city went through, what the community went through that day, and continues to go through, of course, with that. So, 3-year anniversary of that horrible day. Just taking a moment to leave some space for that and for people continuing to be affected by that. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.